Let's talk about that programming coming up. You have a lot of really interesting things coming. What should listeners know?
Well, so Pathways is a huge kind of initiative for free and low-cost programming throughout the summer. And then in parallel, there are also performances on stage. And this summer in particular, we have 7 international productions coming. I already mentioned one from Nigeria, Lagos, which we will open our season on June 3 and 4. And then right now, and we'll go to the dance barn and the artist house to see where our South Korean team from 2 theaters from Seoul is staying. Currently, they're developing a new work, which will be premiered. It's a world premiere. It will be shown next weekend. So there is a production from South Korea. There is what we call the Global Dance Series, where it's not just companies from places like Nigeria, but there is one company from Israel, 2 companies from France, 1 from South Africa. There is also Global Music with Haitian band Vox Sambu, and then Dacha Bracha, a Ukrainian ethno-punk band. A lot of our programming, because of this marvelous landscape and our obsession with the crisis of Anthropocene and where we are and the planet, is very much also focused on the work that is related to the land, our relationship to the land, the extinction even, which is what Femme Fatale with Philippe Ken from France is about. And so that's the film The Earth. Also, we thought it would be a perfect component of our pathways, kind of unfolding dramaturgies of the Anthropocene. We put a tagline on this.
Many people don't feel welcome in art spaces. Why do you think that PS21 is different?
You are so right about this. And I want to say that we aspire to make PS21 welcoming and open to all. And I don't feel like we are there yet. And I feel that strongly that it's probably just this vector in society which discourages arts participation. Because if you look at, in this glorious Hudson Valley in the Berkshires, the ticket prices are so expensive to festivals all around us. You know, Tanglewood, Jacob's Pillow. I mean, there are, of course, more affordable productions, but not the productions on stage that you know, the kind of more complicated, if you will, dance performances. And that's, to me, a real deterrent, the ticket prices, so that people of your age can't afford to come. People who have young families in their 30s and their 40s, they cannot afford to buy tickets to performances. And I think by keeping prices low, as we did last year, and then during the pandemic, we were able to build a much younger audience.
So for listeners who are interested in visiting PS21, how can they get more information and what would you like to leave them with?
Well, first of all, our website, ps21chatham.org, that's one source. I think first they should just come and hike our trails, that's what I would say. And then if they stumble upon things that they might be interested in, we have posters in our theater. They can look at the website and maybe they can come back. But I probably would want to wish everybody to stay well and healthy in this still time of the pandemic and connect to each other. And I think arts is a way of being together, creating the community, and we should not forget that. It's kind of a good way of spending quality time together with each other and also meeting new people.
Thank you so much, Elena Sianko, for joining me.
Thank you, Sina. It was great fun.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
The sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace, where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees.
Oh, Helios. Oh, yellow star. Oh, glowing sphere. Gleaming beacon. Brilliant flaming orb. Giver of light, warmth, and radio. Yes, it's true. WGXC's brand new solar panels are installed and ready for deployment, where they'll be calling on the free and plentiful rays of the sun to bring our station close to full sustainability.
To make WGXC a solar-powered radio station.
We are going solar, and WGXC will be a solar-powered community radio station, getting our power from the sun rather than foreign despots.
WGXC loves the sun, and we're going to love it even more now that WGXC is going solar.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bow My Books, youth radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acra, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Georgia, I'm 11, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia, I'm 20, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Jada, I'm 11, and I live near Hudson.
And I'm Emily, I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm also from Hudson.
A lot of Hudson people today.
It's a hopping place, you know?
Well, I actually live somewhere else now, but I am from Hudson. I just moved out of Hudson. But anyways, we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love.
Books we hate.
Bookish things. Yes, I gotta say it.
And that's what we're gonna do today. Who wants to start us off talking about a book or bookish thing?
I have a poem to talk about that I had to read for a school assignment this week, which is interesting. Sure. I just read it literally just an hour ago and did the assignment just an hour ago, so it's still kind of fresh in my mind. It's called Reaching Guantanamo by, oh my god, I forgot his name. Solmaz Sheriff, I believe. Yeah, I believe that's the name of the author. It's Reaching Guantanamo by Solmaz Sheriff. And I thought it was a very interesting poem. The class I had to read it for was literary theory. So I basically had to take a literary theory and apply it to the poem. And the reason this one is so interesting to me is because there are several parts of this poem that are intentionally left blank. Like if you've ever seen a document that's had redacted information in it, where it's like words and then a blank space and then the words continuing, it is written like that. So you end up with lines like, love, are you well, do they, blank, you, I worry so much, lately my hair, blank, even my skin, blank, the doctors tell me it's blank. So it's written like that. And that makes it kind of hard to read out loud because, you know, there's the pauses where you would be missing words, but reading it is definitely the most interesting way to like view it as a poem, I think. It's one of those rare things that actually I don't think translates as well if you read it out loud. But yeah, that's called Reaching Guantanamo by Solmaz Sheriff. I think it's part of a larger work. I think it's written as, it's actually seven letters that have been like censored to make poetry. So it's written in the form of a letter. It has missing information for the reader to like fill in on their own. And that by itself, I think, makes it really engaging because you're essentially forced as you're reading it to think, what is happening? What is the full story? What are the circumstances surrounding these letters? And that's what I did today.
That does sound really interesting. And that what you were saying about the redacted parts and how it's hard to read out loud or it's better read on the page reminds me of certain audiobooks, because I listen to a lot of audiobooks. Some of them have elements that I feel like don't really translate well to audio, like especially if there's a lot of instant messaging or whatever where there's like screen names.
And
they have to say who's saying each one. So it's always like cat fan 1239, blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, they go through, they have to like say the character's name over and over again. Whereas if you were reading it, you would just kind of like not think about that part, the screen name.
Yeah.
It doesn't flow quite as well, but that sounds really interesting.
It sounds like a really, really interesting thing. I'd love to read it. Did you say that was a poem or a book?
It is a poem.
That's why I thought. I just wanted to check.
Thanks for sharing, Amelia. Why don't we jump right over to Georgia?
Oh, me? Okay. So, you know, Emily, I'm sharing the second one to the series, one of your favorite series, Katie the Cat Sitter, number 2, Best Friends for Never.
I love Katie the Cat Sitter.
It's by Colleen A.F. Venable and Stephanie Yu. And this one is so good. Have you read this one yet, Emily?
Yeah, I thought it was great. So fun. Oh,
I find it better than the first one, or like the plot is better. Actually, it's probably equal to the first. And also, it's confirmed that a third one is coming out because at the end it says to be continued in 2023.
So long. We have to wait so long.
I know. I might have to wait until seventh grade at the latest. Ugh. But this book was so good. Oh my gosh. I definitely recommend it for readers of all ages. It's just a great graphic novel. And also, I love how cute all the Katies are doing the skateboarding tricks. Like, so cute.
There's some very skilled cats in these books.
Oh my gosh. And all the cat drawings are so adorable. Oh my gosh. How do they make them? They're so cute. Oh, right. I'll read the description. Katie loves skating with the Wheelas and the fact that she's officially a superhero sidekick. But now that school is starting, everything's changing. The Mousetress is getting blamed for things Katie knows she didn't do. Sidekick train is not as exciting as she'd hoped. Katie's best friend, Beth, is back in town, and Beth's new boyfriend is always hanging around. Ugh. Not to mention that all of Katie's friends are mad at her. Fixing this will be harder than any skateboard trick. But with the help of 217 slightly out of the ordinary cats, Katie's going to try. Can she clear the Mousetress's name, uncover the real supervillain, and become the sidekick and the friend she's always dreamed of being? So this is a really, really, really great book. Definitely would recommend it. And I borrowed it from the Lenox Library. So I did find a good library local to me. But let me let you in on a little secret. Hudson's still my favorite. I mean, Lenox is good. Don't get me wrong. They have an amazing graphic novel section. Just Hudson will always be the closest to my heart.
Aw, we're so lucky. I basically have your love.
Thank you. I basically wiped out the graphic novel section. I checked out like 9 books at one time, and then I read them all in like less than a week. I actually would have read them like in a few days, but I wasn't reading them as much because I wanted to save some and spread it out. And then I got like 5 more yesterday. Also, they have a graphic novel club that I went to yesterday. Pretty much you read a graphic novel, then you talk about it. And yesterday was my first one. We made a really good little wall out of candy because the graphic novel we did was about walls. Sort of, it involved walls. It is really good. But yeah, I'll share the sequel to it next week because I'm going to read it because it's a series. So
I'm curious what it is. I can't remember a graphic novel about a wall.
It's not about a wall. It's just a lot of walls appear in the book, like brick walls.
Fascinating. Yeah, I look forward to hearing about it.
Very strong book.
Also, did you know that there's such thing as Lego candy?
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. I mean, it's not the tastiest, but you can actually build stuff with it. It's pretty cool.
Probably is more fun to play with than it is to eat.
Yeah, they're very hard and sort of tart, but they're still good.
The concept itself is fun.
Yeah, I'd just much rather have something else, like spend my sweets on something else, like chocolate or Skittles or Starburst or basically any good candy.
That's harder to build a wall with those. Actually, Starburst could work.
Reese's wall.
Skittles would be hard. They'd topple. You'd need some like toothpicks or something to hold it together.
The world record for most M&Ms stacked up.
I didn't realize that was a thing.
It's 7. And I'm really good at balancing things. So I'm going to try and break the record and get to 8. Also, back in 2017, the record was only 3. And I've already stacked 3 easily. So if it was back then, I would have beat the world record because I just couldn't get to 4. So I would have beat the world record. Wait, no, it was that I couldn't get to 5. Yeah, I will have beaten the world record. So I am going to really try to get in that record book.
I believe in you.
Thank you.
Jada, do you have a book you want to share?
Well, I'm just rereading Frindle, one of the best books in the world by Andrew Clements. It's about a boy who likes words, but then goes into fifth grade and meets this teacher who's a real stickler for the dictionary. And then he tells him, who decides what words mean? You do. And then he has the big idea to start calling pens Frindles. And then it catches on, and eventually, I'm not going to spoil it. Find out for yourself. But yeah, it's a great book.
And he also wrote
The Landry News, No Talking, Lost and Found, Room 1, Lunch Money, and The Report Card. And probably others, too.
Yeah, he's written a lot of books. And they're very popular. But I have never read his books at all. Do you have a favorite one?
That's one of the questions you can never ask me.
They're all your favorite, child. Jade is like, I'm not going to answer that. Thanks for sharing that book. I also have a book to share. I've been kind of on a reading rampage recently. I read a lot of books this past week. But one that I read that is a middle grade graphic novel that I wanted to talk about today is called Swim Team. It's by Johnny Christmas. And I'm going to read the description for it. It says, Bree can't wait for her first day at her new middle school, Enid Brigitha. I don't know how to say it. home to the mighty manatees, until she's stuck with the only elective that fits her schedule, the dreaded Swim 101. The thought of swimming makes Bree more than a little queasy, yet she's forced to dive headfirst into one of her greatest fears. Luckily for her, Etta, an elderly occupant of her apartment building and former swim team captain, is willing to help. With Etta's training and a lot of hard work, Bree suddenly finds her swim-crazed community counting on her to turn the school's failing team around. But that's easier said than done, especially when their rival, the prestigious Holyoke Prep, has everything they need to leave the mighty manatees in their wake. Can Bree defy the odds and guide her team to a state championship? Or have the manatees swum their last lap for good? That's the description. And I started reading this book, and at first I wasn't as fond of the artwork, but it sort of won me over eventually. But the story, like, really pulled me in. I read it in one sitting. I really
Sounds
liked
like a great book.
Yeah, I really liked the characters, and I was a big swimmer as a kid. But I was curious because the main character basically goes from never having gone swimming to being like a star swimmer in a very short period of time. And as somebody that like grew up swimming from a very young age, I'm just curious like how realistic it is that somebody could learn so fast. And maybe it is one thing when you are older that you can learn really fast like that, like when you're in middle school. But she went from like not knowing how to float to like being able to win races at a state championship within a year. But I don't care if it's realistic. I'm just curious. I mean, the story is great no matter what. But I don't know. I also like the main character, and I like her friendships in the story, and the rivalry part with the other school is interesting. At one point, one of the students from a rival school has to join their team. So there's some drama there. And I really liked the intergenerational friendship with her and her neighbor who takes on mentoring her, training her in how to swim. I thought that was very sweet. And then there's also some nice parts about her relationship with her dad because they've just moved to this new town together, and she just lives with her dad, and he has to work a lot to, you know, support their new life. And so he's not always around, and so it deals with some of her feelings of that and wanting her dad to be there to support her at her meets, and but also understanding that he's busy and needs to work.
Did the parents divorce, or did the mom die, or is the dad just single? Or not the mom die, the dad or mom die?
I think that if I'm remembering correctly, I think that the mom had passed away, but I can't remember if that was true. It's not like that the parents are separated. But I think I'm pretty sure there was a mom that's just not in the picture anymore. I just can't remember if it specifies. I'm getting somewhat confused because I read a different book this weekend where there was a dad who had passed away at some point. And actually I read a different book over the weekend where there was a mom that had passed away. So I can't remember if I'm just imagining that the mom was out of the picture because of that, or if it actually was part of the story. But if it was like a small moment. It wasn't like a main focus of the story. You know, it just starts off that they're moving to this new town, you know, packing up and leaving, starting a new life. Well, not a new life, but a new version of life. Are any of you swimmers? Do you like to swim?
Not really. In fact, I think we just got rid of our pool.
I love swimming, except I have absolutely no technique. I'm really slow. So, but I do like it. I just have like zero technique. So I should probably start taking swim lessons again if I want to get technique. Or I could just do it because like I can swim, but it's like a combination of the doggy paddle, the like thing where you swim like a frog. So like the froggy paddle, the doggy paddle, and
the froggy paddle's breaststroke.
Oh,
just so you know, I like that you call it froggy paddle though. I'm gonna start.
Sorry,
that's what my
swim teacher called it. Sorry, I was taking lessons when I was 7. Sorry. It's basically a combination of the breaststroke, the doggy paddle, and like the, I don't know what it's called, where you like go bup, 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 up, up, bup, bup. I don't know.
Georgia is doing really charades of some stroke that I've never seen in my life. Called swatting at flies and breathing.
No, it's like you have your head underwater, pretend that this is the surface.
Okay. Oh, like freestyle?
Or like... Yeah, freestyle, I think.
Your out of water technique is very interesting.
Yeah, this is why I need swim lessons.
I always loved backstroke was my favorite stroke. But now...
Oh, yeah, backstroke is the best.
But I like doing breaststrokes like as a casual stroke is perhaps my favorite. But for when I used to race, I did backstroke. It was my main thing. I also really
backstroke
like side stroke.
Is,
I like casual strokes.
Backstroke is, I can go really fast with a backstroke.
So I think in swim team, I actually think I was confusing with the books. I don't think it ever specifies why she lives with a single dad. It's never really specified their scenario, if I remember correctly. But you could read the book and find out for yourself. And then you could correct
me. Yeah, I'd love to read that book. What's it
called? It's really good. It's called Swim Team, and it's by Johnny Christmas.
Swim Team. Johnny Christmas.
But anyways, that's my book suggestion for the week. I'm going to save some of my other recent reads for another week because some of them aren't out for a while because they're preview copies. So I'll try to talk to those about those when they're available.
You're so lucky that you get to read them like months and months and months before they come out.
Except the trick is then I want to like share them with people and I can't really do it, which is too bad because they're digital previews.
You still get to read them.
Yeah. But then the good news is I can read them early and be like, that's a great book. I should get it for the library. And then I do.
Oh, yeah.
So it's in your best interest.
You should get every graphic novel that exists. Oh, wait, except for this one terrible graphic novel. It's so bad. It's inappropriate. It's like terrible. It's just absolutely terrible. I don't think anyone would like it. It's so tacky.
I'm
it's
so
called
curious.
Space Alien. Almost. It's, and the weird thing is, it's nothing related to aliens at all. It's just a random title.
I don't know that I know this book.
Oh, thank goodness you don't know about it. Don't read it. It's terrible. For some reason, my mom found it with her office stuff during the move, even though it wasn't mine. And then I read it, just looking for a new book to read, and I hated it. But I would not like to share it because hate is a minor word, is a mild word for it. I feel a form of hatred that is like that a word can't describe. Like there's no word to describe how much I hate it and feel so much hatred for it. Like there's no word to describe it. It's terrible. Oh my gosh.
Well, good to know. I'll stay away from that one. I trust your judgment. There's enough great books out there to read that I don't need to read a book that you think is the worst book ever.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Oh, it's rated only 2 stars. It should be rated less. But
jeez.
I think it should be rated less, but yeah.
But if you want to read a good comic, you could read Swim Team or Katie the Cat Sitters Part 1 and 2, or many other books that we've talked about on these shows.
Oh, yeah.
There's no shortage of quality middle grade novels, unless you're like Georgia and have read them all already. Almost all of them. But luckily they keep coming out.
New ones all the time. But yeah, I've read most middle grade graphic novels. Yeah. At least the good ones. Also, did you share one week This Is Our Pact by Ryan Andrews? Because I feel like, didn't you share that one or no?
I may have. I read that a few years ago.
I like imagine you seeing it. I think that you shared it. But for the Graphic Novel Club this month, this upcoming month, that's the book we're reading because it's monthly. And I read it. I'd give it like a 6, 7 out of 10. It's pretty good. Not my favorite, but it's still good.
I think.
But I remember you sharing it at some point.
Yeah, I think it wasn't my favorite, but I thought it was really beautiful, and I thought it was really fun. Like the artwork was really beautiful.
Same as you. I agree.
Yeah, the like setting was very lovely, and it was different than I feel like I don't have like another graphic novel that I can compare it to. Maybe you do, but it felt very unique. And so I like that about it.
Yeah, I love unique stuff. Everyone does, doesn't? Everyone does, don't they? Mm-hmm.
But anyways, it's that time. Time to say goodbye, wrap up our radio show. But we thank everybody out there for listening. And we hope you have a great week filled with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books.
Be back next week and talk more books. Until then, happy reading. Bye, guys. I don't know who I'm talking to. I know that there are going to be radio listeners out there, but I feel like I'm talking to air.
and me.
Well, yeah, but I said guys, and there's only you.
Oh, so there's... I'm just Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, bye, guys.
And bye, everyone.
Goodbye, Air.
Still doesn't feel right. Bye, Air.
temperature.